What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Today, we're talking NBA Finals. We are previewing the finals. I can't believe we're already here, talking about some storylines and, of course, giving you our best bets. But first, let's welcome in our guy, Danny Brasco. Danny, typically Mr. Monday. However, Monday was a holiday this week. Did you do anything fun for Memorial Day?
You know, I just tried to keep it American. I ate as many hot dogs and hamburgers as I possibly could. So that was a good old time. A little backyard barbecuing, but a pretty chill weekend overall. Avoided the beach. It was super windy. So, you know, kept it local and did some relaxing. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Those beaches in New York have a harsh current. On the 4th of July last year, I went to the Rockaways Beach. And every time I went out into the water, I thought I was going to die. Like, you have to and relieve yourself. You are taking your life into your own hand. They've got like rocks and boulders coming at you. Like it was like, it's like everything in New York. It's not for the weak, you know, even the beach is not for the weak. Mine was pretty good. I went to the city Saturday night and then unfortunately my dog had some stomach issues. So couldn't really leave her alone on Sunday or Monday in case unless I wanted a little fun surprise, which is not that fun, if you know what I mean.
Yikes. Poor Edie.
Yeah, but she's feeling better now, so that's good. And we're just, you know, dealing with that. I will say, because I know that you are invested in my Mox milk journey, and for those listening or watching that don't know, I got a matcha maker, for Christmas, and I've been obsessed with it. I've been trying all different kinds of milks, and then all of a sudden I've decided now that I'm going to make my own milk. So I got this machine called the Nutter. N-U-T-R, which, you know, take that how you will. And I've been trying different milks. I know. All right. I said it. And then I thought, okay. N-U-T-R. Okay. It makes nut milk. And that even of itself. Okay. We'll keep this moving. Anyways, I made almond milk. And almond milk wasn't very good. It was a little grainy and I couldn't really figure out. And then I was trying to make oat milk because I like oat milk the best. And I'll tell you what, Danny, making your own oat milk is very difficult because it's kind of slimy at home because they don't have all the additives and the oils and the stuff in it. The starches, I guess, get really slimy. So haven't been able to do a good job at oat milk, but we had success today, Danny. Cashew milk.
Cashews. Hashtag mock milk journey.
I made a cashew creamer today, and it was cashews and water and a pitted date and a little bit of brown sugar and a little bit of vanilla. And let me tell you, it was the best milk I've ever had, and I made it myself. You guys can follow me on Instagram if you would like to know more about making your own nut milks. But moving on. Moving on from the nut milk conversation into the NBA finals. All right, we got the Nuggets. The Nuggets and the Miami Heat. How about those Heat, Danny? All right, come on. We're still laughing here about that. I get it. Do you think that the Nuggets are nervous entering their first franchise appearance into the NBA finals? Or do you think they're like, we got this in the bag. We're the number one seed. We swept the Lakers. Yeah, Miami had to go 7 games to get through the Celtics. They're tired. There's altitude. We got this.
They got to feel confident. I don't think they'll feel nervous. I mean, as great of a coach as Eric Spoelstra has been on the other side, Mike Malone is going to have those guys ready. He's also had this sort of chip on the shoulder attitude that the Nuggets have seemed to bring every game because they've, like we've mentioned before on the show, they felt like a slept on one seed. And they certainly, you know, have proved to be the most dominant team out of the West and are where they should be. So I think they'll come into this series, even as big favorites, still with that chip on their shoulder, feeling like they need to earn their respect. I don't think they'll be nervous. If anything, I'm wondering about how the rust factor might play in. They've had a significant amount of time off. That rest is always great, especially at the end of the season when everyone is banged up. But, you know, we'll see if the shots are falling early or not. That is the only a bit of nerves I could see that they might have in the first quarter of this game. But other than that, I think they'll come out strong. I think the Nuggets are ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming off 10 days rest, which actually is the largest rest advantage in the last 30 years or something in the playoffs to have that many days off in between, you know, from the other team. The thing is that there's always that rust versus rest and kind of where you go. I feel like everyone always leans so much on rest, like that's the best thing. But I don't know. I sometimes think that the grittier team that's like been in it, that's been playing, that doesn't necessarily have fresher legs, but has the momentum, sometimes does better. So again, we'll get into picks. We got Mox Locks for you coming up. But Danny, so the Nuggets only lost three games in this playoff run. Do you think bettors should be worried about the team's lack of experience, you know, facing adversity? You kind of already lean into it as like the rest is maybe the one thing that you're worried about. As a bettor, what are you thinking here?
In terms of facing adversity, I feel like that's not a factor I'm looking at necessarily. Like even in game four of the Lakers series where they, you know, they ended up closing the door with the sweep, but they were down big at halftime. And you know, they could have easily packed their bags in and said, all right, LeBron got us this one. He's going off tonight. We'll see you for game five, and kind of, you know, taking their foot off the gas a little bit and folded in that game. But they didn't. They stormed right back. Again, I feel like this team just still has that chip on their shoulders. So I'm not so much worried about their lack of facing adversity. I mean, they went six with the Suns. They've gotten past LeBron, AD, KD, and Booker. And I think that they'll be ready for a scrap of a series against the Heat here.
I do, and look, and there's no scrappier team than the Heat. They have surprised a lot of people, myself included. So except for their play-in loss, which it looked like maybe they were going to get bounced out right away, they have been just dominant, especially in game ones. They have gone on the road as major underdogs and won game one in the last few series. And actually in all three series, did it with the Bucks, did it with the Knicks, and then they did it with the Celtics. How important is it for Miami to get a game one win here?
I mean, it would be huge. They've been stealing home court in every series, right? And it's really been remarkable. They've done it as massive underdogs every single time. So if Miami comes out guns blazing and, you know, like you said, rolls that momentum from a game seven win into this first game in Denver, I'll be very surprised. I mean, they're facing a lot of disadvantages in this one. Obviously, the rest, you know, Jimmy Butler looked to have tweaked his ankle in that game seven. We'll see how healthy and fresh he is. So, you know, and of course, it's just a totally different matchup from the Celtics to this team stylistically. Way, way different to game plan. If anyone's going to game plan well for it, it'll be Eric Spoelstra. But, you know, if they can steal one, whether it's game one or game two, if they can take one from the Nuggets where they're so dominant at home, it would be massive and totally rewrites the narrative on this series.
Yeah, and I would be interested to see how those odds shift too, because right now Nuggets obviously heavy, heavy favorites to take the series. All right, so if you look at it, there's only been one other 8 seed to enter the NBA Finals. It was the Knicks, your Knicks, in the 98-99 season, and that was really a shortened season. Have the Heat kind of proven that the regular season seeding is irrelevant in the playoffs?
I don't know about all that. It's an interesting question because it really depends on who the one seed is. We've seen some fraudulent one seeds in the past, and the NBA is so interesting. Like teams play, like we even say, like, I feel like the Philadelphia 76ers, like they can be like a regular season team. You know what I mean? We've seen a lot of dominant teams that once it comes playoff time, the identity totally changes and you see like the Heat. Yeah. I mean, the Heat, like you said, lost to the Hawks in the play-in game and all of a sudden, you know, they're world beaters. So I don't know if they've made it irrelevant. Seeding definitely matters. You want to have the most favorable matchup you can. But all of a sudden, I mean, maybe it matters less depending on, you know, how these load management games go. And you see a lot of teams, you know, what version of themselves are they showing themselves to be in the regular season?
Yes.
And is it maybe sometimes imposter syndrome when they head into the playoffs? Maybe that's a factor I'd look at.
Well, I agree with you. I feel like it's team specific, like the Nets, you know, we're going to implode in the postseason, no matter how well they did during the regular season. That's someone I'm not really going to. And the Celtics, too. As good as the Celtics are for the last few years, they have not really been able to get over the hump. Now, I do know that they made it to the finals last year. But again, Jason Tate, there's players, too, up and down players that, you know, when the brightest lights are on them, we're like Kirk Cousins, if we're talking about football here, that you kind of shy away from. So I don't, to your point, I don't know if seeding is irrelevant. I think home court advantage is extremely important. So the more games that you win, the better your seeding is, the more you're going to have that home court advantage, which in places like Denver, when you've got the altitude on your side, that is incredibly important. But look, this is professional sports, and any given Sunday, any given Tuesday, any given whatever, any team can win, because there's a reason why all of these people were drafted and play where they are. And if you're looking at the Miami Heat, even some undrafted players are playing to that level. So let's talk about the Joker. I mean, could have been the league MVP, possibly going to be the finals MVP if you're liking the Nuggets to win, which I feel like most people are. How do you defend the Joker? How should the Heat attack this?
Man, that's a coach that a lot of NBA head coach, or that's a question that a lot of NBA head coaches are scratching their head asking themselves as well. This is tough for the Heat. I mean, just in terms of size, they match up poorly against the Nuggets, who play a lot bigger. Bam is their only real big for the Heat. And is he going to go man-to-man against Jokic? Because I don't see that working at all. Is Eric Spoelstra going to throw out that zone defense against a point center in Jokic who could pick that apart to a good complement of shooters around him? I think that would be a poor idea as well. So, man, maybe the Heat decide to say, you know what, Jokic, you're going to have to drop 30-plus every night on us, and we're going to defend you man-to-man and see if we can stop your supporting players from, you know, contributing and dropping 120 on us every night. Because that zone is not going to work against you. It's just not. Against the Celtics, it worked because they're so live and die by the three that when they're missing their threes, it's kaput. They don't play with the same intensity back on defense. So I don't think the Nuggets are that similar team, right? They can get it done in a lot of different ways. You're going to have to go man-to-man against Jokic, I feel like, with a size mismatch and hope for the best. But that's really all you can do.
You know who did kind of well man-to-man against Jokic is Christian Thompson. I know he was only in for like 35 seconds of that game, but I was watching him actually on ESPN the other day breaking it down, and he kind of had Jokic off his game a little bit and missing some shots. So yeah, I agree with you. That man-to-man is the way to go, and you got to get a big man on him. Now, who's it going to be? Adebayo? You know, I don't know how successful he's been against Jokic, but yes, I agree with you there. There's really no way to stop Jokic. You can kind of try to limit him, or to your point, limit his role players a little bit and just make him go out there and beat you. On the other side, you got Jimmy Buckets, who also just can't be stopped. It's just been a juggernaut on both sides of defense and offense. How do they limit Butler? How do they get the ball out of his hands?
They'll probably have their best defender, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, matched up on him for most of this series. And I do like that matchup. I mean, Jimmy's shown that, you know, even if he's shooting poorly, he's going to find a way to the free throw line. He's going to create and facilitate and have lots of assists. He'll get it done. Even in really bad games, he's damn near a triple-double. So, you know, like you just said about Jokic, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. I think that they'll throw KCP at him. They'll throw a bunch of different bodies at him, mostly KCP, and look to make him maybe more of a facilitator than the primary scorer. Because the Heat, it felt like in each of these series, I'm like, where's the offense going to come from? And it keeps coming through. They keep putting in more points than the other team, which is something that I didn't think they'd be able to do consistently with what appears to be a lack of offense. But with the role players playing lights out, Caleb Martin, who is this man? I mean, I think that they'll have to make them beat them. So maybe throw doubles at Butler and see if the run of guys like Strus, Martin, Duncan Robinson can keep up, because it's really been amazing.
What do you think? I'm trying to see if there's I'm pretty sure there's a prop for this, but I can't find the line for it. But maybe one of our producers can find it for us. Who do you think scores more points tonight, Joker or Butler?
I feel like I did see a line for that in the head-to-head market, which is an interesting way to play this. I think it might have been something around minus 130. I would go Joker just because I don't know how they're going to, I think they will struggle to match up with him in game one. And Spo will definitely make some adjustments after this game and drop some X's and O's that maybe defend him better. But in this first one, I think that he pours it on. And if they go man to man, I don't expect it to work that efficiently. So I would lean Joker in this one.
See, and I kind of lean Butler in this one. I think the Joker is going to score a lot. I like him. Oh, well, I'll already say this. I like him for a triple-double. I mean, it's death taxes and Joker triple-double. So I like that. I like him to be very efficient in basically everything. But, you know, getting in those like 30s and 40s doesn't always happen with Joker because he's doing everything. But Butler can really get away and do that. So I don't know. I don't know what the odds are, but that's just a fun one to look at. Another interesting storyline here is Tyler Hero. You know, broke his hand, obviously, in that first series, has not, I think they said 6 weeks, but who knows, 6 to 8 weeks, whatever. We're getting to the point where maybe he could return. Do you think he will? I'm kind of leaning towards no. And then even if he can, is he going to be that effective, right? You're coming off of a broken hand. You look at someone like Max Strus and Duncan Robinson, can they kind of keep up the momentum?
Yeah, this would be really interesting if he does return. I'm not quite certain on the status of where his hand injury is, but I feel like there's rumblings that he may see some action here. I just wonder, one, it's a hand injury. As a primary ball handler, you wonder how that rust will affect him, if he's 100%, if he's able to go. But two, if you do throw him back in the rotation, which it feels like, you know, he's their second leading scorer after Jimmy Butler, it would feel dumb not to. But also, like, could it hinder them? I mean, then you have to mix up the rotation. Then you have to, you know, change the minutes. And the role players have been carrying the Heat. As good as Butler has been, you know, after that Bucks series where people are calling him Michael Jordan's son, he has declined a bit, and he's been relying on everyone else. He's relying on Caleb Martin, who arguably should have won Eastern Conference Finals MVP, to get it done for him, right? When he's not putting in the buckets, it's been everyone else consistently showing up. So if you mess with that, it feels like it could be a mistake, despite the talent that Hero has. Maybe he's better suited rocking ridiculous outfits on the bench.
The outfits are ridiculous, Danny.
They're unacceptable. They are,
like, I don't know who is styling this man or what he is doing, but I feel like he's even his. Well, okay. Who do you think has crazier outfits, Russell Westbrook or Tyler Hero? Because Westbrook had some choice outfits as well. Or, you know, we can even throw in, well, no, and I'm not going to get football in this. I was going to throw in a Cam Newton in there, who also has ridiculous outfits. But, like, I don't know what Tyler is wearing. I don't know what you're doing. Like, it's not it.
I mean, you got James Harden, Kyle Kuzma. These guys, James Harden won playoff
Kyle
series.
Kuzma.
Remember in Spanish class growing up, Muzzy? You ever see Muzzy? It was like a Spanish learning. He's like a big blue kind of like monster looking character. James Harden was wearing a big fuzzy, like Muzzy looking outfit. I mean, the choices these guys make, I'm like, that's what $40 million gets you? That style choice? That's fascinating to me.
I think of all of them, I don't know why, I think Kuzma is actually cool enough to play some of this stuff off. I'm not sure Tyler Hero is, and then I definitely don't think that James Harden is. But on this note, we are going to take a quick break or watch Moxie Bags. We'll be right back. Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesar Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 plus only, offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe County, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be assessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369. Summer is just around the corner, and it might just be the best one yet. Thanks to the summer of Dash Pass from DoorDash, with a Dash Pass membership, you can save big now through July 19th on swimsuits, beach snacks, sunscreen, and more. With the summer of Dash Pass, you'll enjoy $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on all eligible orders, making it easier and more affordable than ever to stock up on all your favorite summertime essentials. But that's not all. You'll also get access to thousands of offers nationwide, ensuring that this summer is one to remember. So kick back, relax, and let Dash Pass help you experience the best of your neighborhood for less. Summer of Dash Pass is a once-a-year event you don't want to miss. Thanks to the chance to get special access to members-only events, whether you're into sports, music, or just great snacks. Get ready to lower your costs and raise the bar this summer with limited edition drops and exclusive items to level up all season long. Experience a summer like no other. Best your best summer with a Dash Pass membership from DoorDash today. Sign up for Dash Pass now and you'll get your first month free. Plus, when you use our promo code, get 50% off up to $10 value when you spend $15 or more on your next Dash Pass order. When you download the DoorDash app and enter the code MOXIESUMMER. That's 50% off when you spend $10 or more on your next Dash Pass order. When you download the DoorDash app and enter code MOXIESUMMER. Don't forget code MOXIESUMMER for 50% off your next order. Subject to change. Terms apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Moxie Bets here with my guy, Danny Brasco, and we're talking NBA Finals. So now let's talk about some betting trends for the finals here. Playoff basketball is much different than the regular season. From a betting perspective, Danny, how different should you approach the finals compared to, you know, the rest of the playoffs?
Well, you know, as I always do, I'm looking at the betting market, where the bets are, where the money is, what the line movement looks like, but especially for the, you know, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the World Series. I mean, this is when the most handle and the most action is going to be wagered on these games. So you're going to want to pay attention to where the line moves, where the public is betting it, where the pros are going, because this is where the casinos should be looking to make their most money, right? So follow the money. You know, I would highly advise having some intel on where the money is going and in accordance with the line, and have that educate part of the reason why you make your bet.
Yeah, I think to your point too, because there's so much money being poured in, I feel like the market is dictating the lines more so than, you know, what it normally would be. So yeah, to your point, look at where the money is, because if it's heavy on one side, I mean, you know, the public loves an over. And I would say, you know, unders, I feel like both of you and I are on overs in this first game, but I feel like unders in these championships usually is the play, considering there's a little bit of nerves there, especially if you look at a team that's never been there before. And then you look at a team that's maybe tired going seven rounds they went six with the Knicks and seven with the Celtics. Yeah. So tired, all of these things point to unders, but of course, you know, again, the public likes points. We like points, but yeah, definitely agree with you on seeing where the money is, because I think the market really dictates a lot of what these lines are. And you see a lot of line movement too. Opens up here, all of a sudden it's 3 or 4 points higher than it was. If we look at MVP, for me, it's like it's Joker, right? Because I think the Nuggets are going to win this series. We'll get into series betting and how we think it's going to actually play out. But he was, I don't want to say he was slighted for league MVP, because I think Joel Embiid earned that fair and square. He had an absolute phenomenal season, but you know, he wants it. And that's the only MVP he's never won is a finals MVP. So I'm going to go with Joker. I know that it's chalk here, but one, is that what you're doing? And is there any value, maybe a Jamal Murray or somebody else?
Yeah, right. They really wanted to steer people off being able to bet Joker at, what is it, -350. He's one of the biggest, I think he is the biggest favorite to win MVP in the last 20 years, more so than Kobe Bryant or, you know, some of these dominant players have been. So that's really remarkable. I feel like if you want to take a value chance, sure, you should play the other side and go Jimmy Butler at +350. Hmm. And if there's another player on the Nuggets, if you feel like they're going to win this series, yeah, it might have to be Jamal Murray. If he's going bubble Murray and he's raining threes, I mean, there's a chance he has a 40-point game in this series, or I could see him going for 40 and 10 assists and having a signature game to really boost the Nuggets ahead. So maybe Joker relies on his second leading star in a couple games and it could end up being Murray, but Joker's chalk for a reason. And I feel the same as you, that he'll probably walk away with this award.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm laying money on it, but I think it's going to be him. If I was going to play anybody else, it would probably be Jamal Murray, because he's just been phenomenal this entire playoff run. And yeah, if you think the Heat can win, which we'll have to see how this game one goes, then yeah, maybe Jimmy Butler is the guy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It is time for Mock's Locks. We haven't done it in a while, but it's the NBA Finals. We got to give you some Mock's Locks. So first, let's start, Danny, with the series. And I'm going to go first here, and I'm going to say Nuggets in six. It's at plus 340 on Caesars. And you know, Danny, I spent the first two rounds of the playoffs doubting the Miami Heat, all right, and just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I said it on the show multiple times, and guess what, Danny? It didn't pay too well, because here we are in the NBA Finals, and I lost money on the first couple rounds. The Nuggets are the better team, right? We've talked about this already on this show and even today, but you got to put some respect on Miami's name. The Heat entered the playoffs with 150-1 odds, Danny. That is the longest odds of any team in any professional sport to reach a championship game in the past 30 years, not just the NBA. We're talking NFL, we're talking MLB, everything. 150-1 odds. They've also pulled off 9 moneyline upsets this postseason. That is tied for the most upsets as an underdog, again, over the past 3 decades. Miami's going to win some games, and I wouldn't be surprised if they steal a game at Ball Arena. I like the Nuggets, but give me the Heat at plus 340 to steal 2 games.
I'm with you on that. I like that pick a lot, and I really, really wanted to take Nuggets in 5, but
yeah,
similar to you, I've not given the Heat enough credit, and I've paid for it on a couple occasions. I had the Celtics winning that game 7. I thought that line screamed Celtics because I thought everyone and their mother was going to pile up on the Heat plus 7.5, which they did. And the public cashed easily. Like, a lot of people were saying Heat plus 7.5 is free money. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the sharp side. And man, the Celtics just folded. I don't think the Nuggets have a different identity. The Celtics are sort of have this like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde-ness about them. And the Heat exposed that mightily. They kind of took their soul from them and early on in a lot of those games. So to your point, the Heat are just so scrappy. They just keep finding a way. And Eric Spoelstra is a genius. So I'm going to give him the credit to game plan a couple wins, especially in Miami. I think they'll get one. I'm going to be with you here. I'll say they take 2, and it's Nuggets in 6.
All right, good. We're on the same side. I feel good about this. Now let's talk about game 1. One, moneyline or spread. It is ballooned up to 9 points here, Danny. Which way are you going?
I'm gonna take the Nuggets to set the tone for the series and cover this minus 9. It looks like a wide number. And hey, I might be kicking myself right after saying, why am I continuing to give away all these points that the Heat are catching? But I feel like, one, the line is going to attract a lot of public bets feeling, you know, similarly, how are the Heat this big of underdogs? But really, they're facing a lot of disadvantages here in this game 1. We've already mentioned the altitude in Denver. I mean, the Nuggets have been so dominant on their home floor. They're great in transition. That transition offense just runs people out of the gym. They did it to the Suns. They did it to the Lakers. I don't think anyone can run with them. And they have a massive rest advantage. We're looking at, like you said, rest versus rust. So we'll see which one plays out. But if we look at the rest numbers, they're quite alarming. Teams with a weak rest advantage or more versus teams coming in on 1 to 3 days rest after the first round, historically 17-5 against the spread here. And game 1 favorites since 1996 have been dominant. They're 23-4 straight up. They're 19-8 against the spread. And since 2005, they've almost been untouchable, 16-2 straight up. That's an 89% win rate, 15-3 against the spread. So game 1 favorites win out. The altitude in Denver, we talked about the style mismatch. How is Miami going to play as big as Denver? I just think it's going to take a game or two to adjust. And in this first one, I think it'll be all Nuggets. So I think they win by a big number. And I say they cover this minus 9.
Danny, I can't argue with anything that you said. I can't argue with anything that you said. And you're right. And I would not be surprised if this turns into a blowout. I believe that the Nuggets are winning by an average margin of 10 points at home in the postseason when they are getting, well, they're winning, they haven't lost. I'm still going to take the other side. I'm still going to take the Heat plus 9. I just think it's a very, very large number. And I did say that the Heat are going to maybe get one at Ball Arena, but do I think they get it in game 1? No, I'm not that bullish, right? The Nuggets have won 10 consecutive home games. but I am going to take the points here because if you think about the regular season wins, Danny, Denver only beat Miami by an average of 4.5 points. And this Heat team is a different animal in the postseason than they were. They actually came in to the playoffs with the worst regular season cover percentage by any team that was coming into the playoffs. And now they are 13-5 against the spread in the playoffs, like in the postseason. It's absolutely crazy, including upsetting the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Bucks on the road in game one of those series. So until the Heat start to kind of stink up the joint and really look bad, I just can't not give them the points. So it could either, I feel like this is one of the things where it either blows up in your face or blows up in my face, because it really could go either way. This Heat team could be this crazy, you know, game one Heat team that we've seen, or the Nuggets are like, you know, completely shut it down and embarrass them. It could go either way. And I do think that I don't know that this line could be enough. It's either that the Miami Heat are going to blow out or the Nuggets are going to blow out. Doesn't matter if it's 8, 10, 12, whatever, like it's going to be a lot of points. That is my prediction. All right. Now, if we look, yeah, you agree?
No, I was going to say, how can I fault you for any of that logic? I feel like I'm also dug in the trenches here on my side. Like I've been betting against the Heat. It's been blowing up in my face on a number of occasions.
I gave up on that.
You know, like I can't, when you start to switch sides and jump back and forth, that's when you're just losing all over the place. So I thought the Celtics line in game seven screamed Celtics. It did not end up panning out. I think this line screams Nuggets. I have to go with what my analysis tells me. But like you said, if it ends up a blowout the other way, you know, I won't be that surprised and I'll be kicking myself.
It's like, yeah, totally. And I feel the same exact way. This is the way that I'm leaning. That's the way that you're leaning. And yes, my favorite to win the entire thing was the Bucks this season. So I thought there was no way that Miami was going to get through them. So egg in my face there. And then with the Knicks, I thought they were more evenly matched, but I thought, you know, that the Knicks could come out and maybe not after game one, but before the season started or the series started, I thought, but then when it got to the Celtics, I was like, no. The Celtics, to me, don't have it, and they're not going to have it. Now, I didn't think it would go up 3, and then, of course, then I kept betting on the Heat to, you know, to sweep them, and then game 5, game 6, and that didn't happen. I kept riding that wave, and finally, they came out and proved me right, and you get a good plus money on them. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Let's look at some prop bets for this. So starting with the Heat, Danny, what do you like for the Heat tonight?
So I like Jimmy Butler over 5.5 assists, a little juicy at -150 here on Caesars, yeah. But he's been such a good facilitator. He's averaging over 6 assists in both of the previous series. We've seen him go for 10 plus in multiple games. And I'm wondering how the status of that ankle is right now. Maybe, you know, if he's lacking a little bit of lift on those shots, I'm sure he's getting great treatment and he's going to be totally fine to go. But, you know, he's really, really done a great job of getting the role players involved. They're shining. He's mentioned it in many interviews. You know, these guys have gotten us here. And I think he's going to have to continue to rely on them if they're going to compete in all these games and win a couple, especially right here on the road. You know, he's going to have to be a facilitator as much as a bucket getter. So I'm going to look for him to set up a lot of kind of dish off and screens and have those guys like Strus and Duncan Robinson banking threes from the outside. So I like him to go over this assist prop.
I like that a lot. I'm also going with Butler, and I'm just going to stick to what I have been doing, which is Butler over 1.5 steals, because my guy has been getting at least 2 steals a game in like 90% of games in the playoffs. Now, there was a couple games in the last series where he didn't get them, and they were able to limit him a little bit better. But you know that Butler's going to come out swinging tonight, because he has to, and he's been very good in game ones. So the problem with this, though, is because it's so automatic, the books have now juiced this to -166. So I wouldn't play. I mean, look, you could play it by itself because it's going to win, you know what I mean? Or it's winning so much that if you play it every single game, you're still going to end up profitable. But what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to parlay it actually with my Nuggets prop bet and my 2 automatic things, Butler over 1.5 steals, and then the Joker, Jokic, to get a triple-double. Now, Jokic's triple-double's at -117. That's how automatic this is, -117 for a triple-double. I like the Nuggets to score a lot of points tonight. I like them to win this game. Yes, I do think that the Heat are going to get the 9, but Joker's going to be a huge part of this game. And like I said earlier, 3 things in life, Danny, that are certain: death, taxes, and Jokic triple-doubles. Also, Matt Stafford to throw an interception, if we want to get that in here. But he's averaged a triple-double in all of the playoff, all of the series. He has got 8. I think he passed. Who did he pass? Grant. Who did he pass? Who had the record previously. Wilt Chamberlain, I believe. He passed
for triple doubles. Wow. I would have thought it was Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, Wilt had seven. Or who was it?
I would have thought it might have been Oscar Robertson.
I think it was Wilt Chamberlain. I can see Tucker nodding. Okay, I think I'm right. Thank you. I don't know. Anyways, he's got the most of any NBA player in the postseason in like the last 100 years or actually ever. So give me him to get a triple-double. And if you look at the way that he played against the Heat in the regular season, he also averaged, you guessed it, a triple-double, 23, 12, and 10. He missed out on the league MVP. We both think that he's going to be a lock for the finals MVP. So if you put together, if you put the Jimmy Butler steals minus 166 plus the triple-double for Joker at minus 117, you get plus 230. And those are two things that pretty much happen in every single game that they've played in the postseason. So my props I'm going to put together for that plus 230. But is there a prop that you like for Denver?
Very interesting. You mentioned death taxes, Joker, triple-double. Of course, when NFL season comes back, you got to throw in your favorite bet, Matt Stafford MVP. And you mentioned him earlier in the show, NFL wrinkle here, death taxes and fade Kirk Cousins in prime time. For the Nuggets side.
Turns out there's a lot of things you could do with death and taxes.
Yeah, right. Turns out a few things in life are guaranteed. For the Nuggets side, I've been talking about their size advantage and how they're going to play big. And something that I thought they did so well in game four, specifically Jokic did so well in game four against the Lakers, was use his power forward Aaron Gordon. That two-man game they're playing inside is really nice. And if they throw a lot of attention at Jokic's way, he's been so good at just giving that little treetop pass into the paint and finding Gordon either for an alley-oop or an easy bucket. Gordon's been pretty good at the free throw line too. He's even shown confidence pulling it from beyond the arc. So I feel like as a guy that can play as, you know, a strong glass cleaner, you know, power forward at the four spot or a stretch four and you know, make the defense stretch out and guard him behind the perimeter, I really like what I've seen from Aaron Gordon here. And I feel like he'll be a key player utilizing that size advantage for the Nuggets. So I'm going to take him over 12 and a half points and really work with Joker in that two-man game to impose their physique in this game one.
I love that. I'm going to tail you on that one. Now let's look at a total. I think we both like overs here about against, you know, my better judgment on, I think, what normally happens in these games. But why do you like the over 219?
Yeah, well, I'm the self-proclaimed king of the under. And as series wear on and the teams get to know each other, they grind, the body, you know, bodies are banged up, I'll definitely be looking unders. Game six unders are my favorite thing in the world. We saw even game seven, Heat Celtics, right? The total's at 203.5, hit by a mile, So as they wear on, I will be looking at unders. But in this first game, before the teams get to know each other, and we said this for the previous series, I think in the last episode I was on, we both had the over and we cashed that. You know, we're going to have to understand how to match up. And I think the Nuggets will expose a lot of difficulties the Heat will have matching up with them. And look, the Nuggets are no world beaters on defense either. They actually struggled in the first half of the season since the All-Star break. They've been a top 10 team, so they really clean things up. But I imagine Jimmy Butler will have a fairly easy time getting some buckets himself. I mean, those role players are not – the threes just keep falling. Like you said, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. It hasn't dropped. Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin. I mean, they're hitting
– Caleb Martin.
They're not just hitting –
undrafted.
They're hitting, right? I mean, who is this guy? Where did he come from? They're not just hitting shots. They're hitting difficult shots. I'm really impressed. So the Nuggets will have to figure out how to contain some of the role players from the Heat too, which nobody has been able to do so far. So put those two things together. I'm expecting points. I think it'll go over 218.5.
Is Caleb Martin the equivalent of like a Brock Purdy, like a Mr. Irrelevant? You know, I know Brock Purdy was obviously drafted, but you look at someone like Caleb Martin who was undrafted and it could have been the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and probably should have been. Like it's pretty wild. And it just goes to show that the draft obviously is important and it makes a lot of sense, but there is so much talent. And it doesn't really matter when you're drafted or how you get there. If you get the opportunity to play, you could be better than the number one overall. You could be better than, you know, pretty much anybody. So I just find that to be very interesting. And I like that story a lot. I agree with you on this over for the full game. But I'm going to play the Nuggets team total over. It's 114.5. It's at minus 115. And look, I've given a lot of love, obviously, to the Heat thus far. But don't get it twisted, Danny. The Nuggets have been an unstoppable juggernaut, especially at home. Denver has put up an average of 115 points per game at home this season. So that's right at this line. Outside of round one of the series, which was what, versus the T-Wolves, the Nuggets have scored well over this, 125, 132 in game ones of the playoffs. They're on 10 days rest, which we've talked about. It's the second largest rest advantage in finals history. I like Denver to put up a lot of points tonight at home. So give me that over 114.5 so I can hit, you can hit, the over continues to happen, and then we'll just have to see what happens game side.
And if there's no rust from the rest, then if the shots are falling early in the first quarter and they put up a big number, say 30 plus, you're cashing this. I can pretty much securely predict that.
Let's go. All right. So we're agreeing on some things. We're against each other on some things. Obviously, everybody, you know, tail at your own risk. But we do the research for you. So hopefully we helped you out a little bit. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Danny, thank you so much, as always, for coming and dropping all the knowledge. Don't forget to follow us on social and tweet us your questions. We could answer them on the show. We'll see you next week.